don't get angry. I butted in because I had to, before someone did get angry. But why would Admiral Haynes do it, Pop? Poor Ted. I felt so sorry for him. Zeb said, Dee Dee, you too, Sharpie. It's penetrated my skull, what Jake is driving at. The old whipsaw, Jake? The hard man, Haynes, then the soft man, Dr. Lacey? Yes, I agreed. I'm not sure Ted was in on the frame-up. I don't think he's much of an actor. But Worsell was.
Pop, Worsell is nice.
Dee Dee, hon, my daughter's husband said gravely. Worsell is nice, and he would blast us right out of space if it served his purpose. So would Haynes. They wouldn't enjoy it, but they would do it. Worsell's arrival was too pat. He starts from half a galaxy away, maybe, and arrives at the exact instant that Sir Austin blows his top and saves the bacon. Act two, huh, Jake? Act three. Act one was receiving us with top honors. Got it, Jake. Has anyone noticed that, despite the fact that we know far too much about this universe for freshly arrived visitors and have shown it more than once, Ted is the only one who has shown any surprise. And he only at first. I've noticed, I agreed.
I guess I didn't, said my daughter. People treat me nice, I treat them nice. If they don't, I walk away. I don't worry much.
That's my Dee Dee. Jake, in Barsoom, we had a cover story and managed to make it stick, just barely. Here we have none. When does the other shoe drop?
Zebby, said my wife, I don't think it does. You remember the theory you called multi-person solipsism?
I wish I could forget it, Sharpie.
Spooky.
Spooky, yes, because the essence of it requires all fictional characters to be as real as we are somewhere. Conversely, since we are in it too, we are fictional characters when we are out of our own universe. That's the part I'd like to forget.
It doesn't mean that we are unreal, Zebby. It simply means that they, too, are real. Thuvia, Jack Pumpkinhead, Ted Smith, Worsell. They're comfortable with it. Why shouldn't we be?
I've been talking with Worsell. He takes it more seriously than you and Jacob ever have.
Worsell says that it's a tenable hypothesis and offers to check it for us.
Check it how, Sharpie?
Find the story we are in. Search not only here, but on every planet of civilization that has the literary form, fiction. He says that some don't.
Clono be thanked for that. I was afraid that was what you meant by check it for us.
Sharpie, tell him not to bother. If we're characters in a story, I don't want to read it. I might be tempted to peek at the ending.
But Zebediah, it might tell us where our snug harbor is. We could go straight there.
Yes, Dee Dee, but it might tell us that we never find it.
No, honey. If we're in a book, I want to live it chapter by chapter and not know the end till I reach it.
Zebby, I thought you would say that. But I don't think Worsell could ever find our book. Or perhaps we could never read it. Because when Worsell and I discussed quantizing of thought and, by corollary, of all fiction, I found that I didn't remember anything about the Boscone War beyond today. Yet I know I've read Children of the Lens. It was in Grandfather Rogers' library.
I remember it now. Civilization finally wins, and the Aresians depart, their work finished.
But if Worsell and I discuss it again, I feel sure I'll pull another blank.
Zebby, I don't think it's possible to tell a character in a story how it ends. I think that's implicit in the theory. I hope so.
Worsell won't order a search unless I ask for it, and I won't. But I did learn one thing today. Worsell and I were discussing the fact that Tellus is as much like Earth as we knew it, yet so different in details. Zebby, how well do you know history?
Just middling. Why?
Who was president after Truman?
Eisenhower. Why?
Who comes next?
The first Kennedy. He died in office and his vice president finished his term, then ran on his own.
1964, I think that would be.
He didn't finish his term either. Humphrey moved up late in 65.
Not on Tellus. Not by the histories here at the base.
What happened in this universe?
History was just as I remember it up to 1965. The split seems to be that year. Humphrey never was president. Johnson finished that term and was followed by somebody I've never heard of.
Goldwater. Another general.
No, Zeb, I interrupted. Senator.
I remember because he was from Arizona. The name is well known there, but he was never president. Not in our world, Jacob, of course. But here, he was elected for the same full term that we associate with President Humphrey. I won't try to list them any further. I didn't recognize the presidents after 65. Johnson was not killed in a car crash that year, so Humphrey didn't move up. From there on, all is confusion. This Goldwater senator or general or whatever, what party did he belong to?
Union.
I don't think so, Zeb.
Does it matter, Jake?
He was never president in our world. Humphrey served that term. And in this world, he is about 3 centuries in the past.
Let's forget it. Wherever we end up, we're going to have to learn new history.
Just a moment, sirs. While I didn't recognize the presidents after the split in 65, I did note the name of the president at the date, here, that we left home. A former college professor.
Jake Burrows?
No, Zebby. Jacob would never do a thing like that. J. Worthington Jones.
Huh? Infested. Let's get out of here.
Formerly infested.
Worsell says that Tellus is not infested now. There was an interregnum after Jones, then a period of disorders. Worsell knows what Pankey are, doesn't know where they came from. Says they aren't important, because such minor vermin never last against any advanced culture. But he's working on ways for us to spot them if we run across them again. But he says that mimics, his category term for vermin that simulate true men such as Valancians or humans, aren't really dangerous unless they are hallucinogenerators. He seems certain that we four are immune to that sort because of our built-in mind blocks. I wish I was as certain as he is. The overlords of Delgon would be even worse than Pankey.
44. Zebediah. All hands prepare for space. Astrogator?
Range and direction ready. Washrooms and bulkhead doors secured. Belt fastened.
Science officer?
Perceptron manned. Belt fastened. I took my pill, Captain Zebby.
Co-pilot? Verniers manned. Auxiliaries green. Pill taken. Starboard door seal checked, Captain. Belt fastened. Pilot's belt is fastened, port door seal is checked. 6 seconds to say goodbye, then we maneuver. Goodbye, friends. Thanks for everything. Keep slugging. Admiral Haynes's voice reached us by speaker. Clear ether, Captain. Goodbye, Cardinge. Cheerio, Burrows. Bye, Ted, Laverne, Carlos. Worsell's sweet voice sang in our heads.
Clear ether, dear friends. Lovely and lovable, no mustard. Call and I will come with speed.
My dragon, I must not weep. Aloha till then. Goodbye, Worsel, Teddy, Admiral, Carlos, Surgeon, and tell Dr. Phillips, thanks.
Goodbye, everybody. Oh, I love you all.
And everybody loves Dee Dee. Tell her, old snake.
I shall, Carlos. Sweet daughter Dee Dee, you remain in the hearts of all of us.
Stand by to maneuver. Hello, Gay.
Howdy, Zeb. You look hungover.
I am, Gay Deceiver. Take us home. Arizona was almost cloudless.
Crater verified, Captain Zebby.
L-axis, plus one by schedule. Set, Captain.
Execute.
No crater, Cap'n. No house, either. Just mountains.
The two plus. Set, Captain.
Roger, Jake. Routine check first. Advice?
No data either way, Captain. Voice routine, short schedule, maybe?
Suits. Gay Deceiver. Sightseeing trip. 10 clicks. H over G.
Ogle the yokels at 10,000 meters. Let's go.
Jake, keep your thumb on the button. Gay, Miami Beach. Below lay a fantastic but familiar strip city. Sharpie, what do you see?
What I don't see. Flip on your repeater, Cap'n.
Switch it on, Jake. Well, Hilda?
Zebby, the streets are crowded. Sunny day, beach is empty. Why?
Bogey, 6 o'clock low, Captain.
Gay, bounce. Earth Te 1 Plus swam warm and huge below us. Almost directly under, a hurricane approached Texas. I asked, anyone want to see any more of that one?
Zebediah, how can I see more when I haven't seen any yet?
But Sharpie has, Dee Dee, and Jake. Folks, I find myself unenthusiastic about a world where they shoot at me without challenging first. Jake, your bogey was a missile, wasn't it?
I think so, Captain. Collision course with a Doppler signature over 1,000 knots and increasing.
That's a missile. Out of Homestead. Analog, probably. Folks, the blokes are too quick on the trigger and I'm chicken. Comment?
Captain Zebby, I don't disagree, but I find those empty beaches more disturbing. I can think of several reasons why the beach at Miami would be empty on a nice day. All of them unpleasant.
Want to check San Diego or Long Beach? I can get more scram time by increasing height above ground to your extreme perceptor range.
Captain, I don't advise that. One down check was supposed to be enough, and we have over 20,000 analogs on this axis.
Dee Dee?
Pop said it, Zebediah.
Very well, folks. Just wanted to be sure how you all felt. We'll stick fast to the doctrine. Shop each world just long enough to find something wrong with it. Can be anything. Panky, war, low technology, no human population, bad climate, overpopulated, or factor X. If we don't find our snug harbor in the next 2 weeks, we'll consider returning to Prime Base and Dr. Lacey's baby cochin experts.
Zebediah, if we wait at Prime Base to have our babies, then wait again until they are big enough to travel, I don't think we'll ever find snug harbor. It was hard enough to leave just now.
I said, consider. We may find an attractive way station where we can shack up for 5 months or so, then slam back to base hospital for the grand openings. Might be an empty world. No people, I mean, but pleasant otherwise. Food is no problem now, and we get our water from Oz. All we'll lack is television.
Sharpie, I thought you liked Star Trek.
I do, but I've seen 5 years of it, and we've got our own Star Trek now.
Yes. But that's what the Surgeon Marshal warned me not to let you two pregnant pretties have too much of our real Star Trek, or for too long. A stern Dutch uncle talk, or especially in freefall, as he gave me a set of printed instructions that included daily exercise and so forth. Detailed.
Zebby, dear, Dee Dee and I both have exactly the same instruction pamphlet. Betcha.
No doubt. And so had Jake. Dr. Lacey was covering all angles. We'll cover as many worlds as possible each day, but bulging belly routines will be strictly followed.
Then let's get cracking, Cap'n Zebby.
Co-pilot, captain, execute. Earth Te-1 minus replaced Te-1 plus. Jake, it doesn't look right. Astrogator, I want us 100 kilometers up, over. Not Florida. Make it the Mississippi Valley, about St. Louis, or anywhere in that area. Give Jake a setting. Want me to change attitude?
Not necessary, Zebediah. But quicker, if you'll point Gay at your target, it will let me skip setting angle.
How's that?
Fine. Pop set L-axis plus transition 9,840 minimums.
Set, Captain. Execute.
Zebby, that's what I call a hard winter.
I don't. It's a long winter. Actually, it's summer, I think. Earth analog should be in the same place in orbit as Earth. Jake?
By theory, yes, but we're dealing with fact. But it doesn't matter either way, Captain. That's glaciations. Te-2 plus set.
We can't homestead on an ice sheet. Execute. Jake, how many ice ages have we hit so far?
5, I think. Didi?
5 is right, Zebediah. Plus 2 worlds with war going on, one where they shot at us and one in the Stone Age, even in Europe.
So we're hitting more ice than not.
5-4 has little or no statistical significance, Zebediah. At least Aunt Hilda hasn't perceived even one Pancara.
Sharpie, how good is your magic dingus?
Zebby, if I can't get him on screen at all, I'll spot him, no matter how they're disguised.
In the simulation drills Warsel and Laverne cooked up for us, I spotted the gate by Perceptor every time Didi identified it by computer and Fourier analysis.
I know that. How much confidence do you yourself have in it? In the field, not in sims.
Make that, how much confidence do I have in Warsel's training? Plenty. The machine doesn't do it all. It just lets me see. Laverne told me to think of it as an electronic telescope.
Yes, yes, the spy ray gizmo is electronic. A gadget I hope to understand once I get time to study the specs. You feel confident, that's enough?
Zebby, I don't have a real sense of perception. Warsel didn't have time to train me, and I'm not sure I could learn. But for this one purpose, I think I could spot one at 100 meters without the Perceptor and with a blindfold over my eyes. Warsel got me very highly tuned to that awkward gait, both with and without splints. But I wanted to mention something else. According to geologists, when we were home, Earth, where we were born, I mean, we were in a brief period of warm climate between two glaciations.
So I've heard.
If their theories are right, we'll usually hit glaciations.
Probably, if...
Yes, if. But you know what they look like now. If you and Jacob can make it a drill, you can flip past ice ages as fast as you spot one.
We'll try to speed it up. Co-pilot, execute.
Captain, wait.
Why, Didi? We're about to translate.
Because I don't think we're going about it the right way. Pop is set for Te-5 plus, is he not?
Jake, that's right, Captain. Then what's the trouble, Astrogator? We're set to go.
Yes, but Zebediah, I said that 5-4 had little statistical significance. That's true, but I see a pattern, I think.
Spill it, dear. Spill it.
All glaciations so far have been on Te-. That still could be random chance, but...
But it doesn't look like it. You mean you want us to explore Axis Te-plus first? Okay, I guess. Co-pilot?
No, no, Zebediah. Captain, I mean, I would like us to see enough of Te-minus to have a statistically significant sample, at least 100.
Jake? Captain, if we check in one pseudo-direction only, say Te-minus, it'll be 4 or 5 times as fast as hunting back and forth between plus and minus. Alternating is slow. I have to be so very careful. But if I don't have to alternate, I can set with one click and you can call out execute as soon as you are satisfied.
Jake, alternation was based on our assumption, pure assumption, save for that one datum, the world without the letter J, that worlds nearest our own in hyperspace would be most like our native world. That assumption turns out to be cockeyed. So we'll get Didi her statistical sample, but faster. Set Te-6 minus.
Set, Captain. When I say start, I want you to start flipping them past as fast as you can without waiting for orders, like slides in a projector. Since all I'll be looking for is ice ages, I can spot one in a split second. If I see a warm world, I'll yell stop. Dee Dee, can you count them?
Yes, Captain.
Okay. If Dee Dee or I yell stop, you stop. You too, Hilda. Give your perception a rest. We're looking for glaciers versus green worlds. Got it, Jake?
Run out T-minus axis as fast as I can set and translate. Stop when anyone yells. Aye, aye, sir.
Start.
Stop,
yelped Dee Dee. Jake, I've never seen so much ice. Dee Dee, how many martinis would that make?
On the rocks or straight up? I must estimate the amount of...
Never mind, we don't have any vermouth. Did you get your sample?
Yes, Captain. 100 ice ages, no warm worlds. That's statistically significant. I'm satisfied.
I'm not. Jake, I want to extrapolate Dee Dee's sample logarithmically. Go to a world 10 minus 1,000, then 10,000, 100,000, and so on. How long will it take? Getting Dee Dee her sample took less than 2 minutes, I think.
1 minute, 49 seconds, said Dee Dee.
Jake looked worried.
Captain, I can set my scales for translation by vernier setting 5 or 100,000, but that last translation would take us more than twice around a super hyper great circle, I think.
Elucidate, please. I'm a sky jockey, not a geometer.
And I'm a geometer, not a philosopher. I don't want to get us lost. The Burroughs-Cardinge transformation appear to be a sufficient description of six-dimensional space of positive curvature. They've worked, so far. But Euclidean geometry and Newtonian mechanics worked just fine as long as the human race stayed on Earth Zero and didn't monkey with velocities approaching the speed of light. From there on, the approximations weren't close enough. I don't know that the final plenum can be described with only six space-time coordinates. It might be more than six, possibly far more. Cardinge and I discussed this at length, but never reached a conclusion because abstract mathematics has no content. Mathematics can be used for prediction only after experimentation to test it against the real world.
But we've been doing that, Jake. Transition, translation, and rotation.
But never very far from our point origin, the world we call Earth Zero. I think the extrapolation you propose would take us more than twice around a super-hyper great circle to... What world, Dee Dee?
World 17,778 on T-minus axis, Pop.
Thanks, Dee Dee. Captain, if we arrived there, we could return to Earth Zero by one positive setting of that many quants. But I said, if, instead of a recursive super hyper great circle, we might follow a helix or some other curve through dimensions we know not of.
Wouldn't Gay return us simply to T-A-K-E-U-S-H-O-M-E?
Possibly. But those voice programs instruct a machine that is built into it only six dimensions. Perhaps she would. But to our native universe so far from Earth Zero that we would be hopelessly lost. Captain, if you and I were bachelors, I would say, let's go. But we aren't bachelor explorers. We're married pioneers.
With a deadline to meet. Co-pilot, set the next one. T-5 plus, isn't it?
Right, Captain.
Cabin Zebby, I'm game. The long trip.
Me too.
Quiet in the peanut gallery. Those babies are ours as much as they are yours, and Jake and I are taking no unnecessary risks. So pipe down or be fined 3 brownie points each. Co-pilot?
Set, Captain.
Execute. Looks like a nice place. To stop for lunch, at least. Hilda, start sniffing for Panky.
Take me down lower, Captain Bly, honey. Even set for extreme range, my magic eye can't see much from this altitude. How about 10,000 clicks above ground?
Will you settle for 20?
Sissy pants. Yes, if you'll zip us around the night side to check for city lights. If they don't have lighted cities, it's no place for us.
Except a lunch stop on some lonely tropical island. I don't care to lunch with dinosaurs or lions. I might be the lunch. Give her what she wants, Jake, but do it by transiting.
An orbit at 20,000 takes too long. Give me operations, way out on some lonely atoll. For I am too young to die. I just want to grow old.
You're off key, Zebby.
Mutiny. Anybody spot any city lights? I haven't. No lighted cities were found. A quick spot check of the daylight side at half a dozen places where cities should be, mouths of major rivers primarily, on any inhabited civilized planet disclosed none. So I put us down for lunch out on a lonely atoll, first making certain that it had nothing on it but a few palm trees. It was so warm that Dee Dee stripped off her flying suit at once, started her prescribed ration of exercises. Hilda joined her. Jake and I set out a picnic lunch, also dressed in stylish tropical skin. The only less than idyllic note came when I flatly refused to permit Dee Dee to swim in the lovely clear lagoon. But Hilda backed me by pointing out to Dee Dee that a coral lagoon could harbor unsuspected dangers.
Dee Dee, that's not a swimming pool, despite how clear it is. Anything living in it has defense of some sort, or the breed wouldn't have survived. The first law of biology is eat or be eaten. We didn't make that law, but we live or die by it. The only thing that keeps us from being eaten is being smarter and more careful. A shark could have been washed over the reef years back, eaten all the fish, and now delighted to have us for lunch.
Ugh.
Exactly. But even coral can be dangerous.
45. Jake. My dear wife Hilda, or all of us properly, found us a satisfactory planet just barely inside our deadline. Axis Te positive, or plus, took longer to search for the very reason that each Earth analog was indeed so much like our native planet as to invoke nostalgia. In only a few cases was a planet's shortcoming so obvious that it could be dismissed in less than a day's search by perceptron. The more nearly an Earth analog resembled the one arbitrarily designated Earth Zero, the longer the search. I say arbitrarily designated because every locus in a closed plenum of any number of dimensions from one to infinity is equally its center. There is no unique zero locus. But so strong is the egocentric instinct that even I had to keep reminding myself of this elementary geometric notion. But I knew so little about the actual potential of this apparatus I had invented that I was always afraid of getting lost, no matter how bravely I talked to the others. For example, theory called for an angular quantum capable of holding a sheaf of universes equal to 1 radian divided by e raised to the 6th power twice. But I did not include this option in the controls, partly from lack of skill and tools, partly from sheer funk. Even with the help of the little computer we called Gay, and even the best computer can malfunction, as my daughter keeps reminding me, I doubted my ability to lead us back through such a maze. So all rotations by this first model were exactly 90 degrees. No matter, there were still more universes to visit than a man could touch in one lifetime, more analogs of Earth Zero than we could see in 2 weeks, if we had given each one only 10 minutes and never stopped to sleep, it would have taken over 11 months on Te-Axis alone. So the best we could do was to hurry along and hope, knowing full well that our wives were forbidden to search more than 8 hours per day for a maximum of 2 weeks. After that, the hard decision, an uninhabited planet could be dismissed in 10 minutes, other than as a possible way station. A planet too heavily populated took hardly longer. Once we popped out over our cabin site analog and left at once. Not because of climate, analog worlds grew progressively warmer along Te Plus, but because those rugged mountains were covered with buildings as densely as in a major city. We translated at once. We did not stop to guess how badly that planet was overpopulated. We left. A planet at too low a level of material culture took hardly longer. A hovel is a hovel, no matter what its shape, and a culture that has small sailing vessels and animal-drawn carts as its major transportation, we conclusively assumed not to have advanced medicine, surgery, and obstetrics. But most analog worlds out that axis were not so easily rejected. They had good climates, population not excessive by our standards, and high technology by the appearance of their cities, roads, harbors, aircraft, and so forth. These we approached most gingerly. That missile fired at us with no warning in the first world we visited had made both Zeb and me very gun-shy. We approached such planets from high up with our radar screens at maximum, ready to bounce at the first hint of trouble. If there was none, Captain Zeb would order me to transit down to Hilda's maximum perception range. If he still ran into no trouble, he would enter the atmosphere to let Hilda search for Pankey at medium range under Gay's sightseeing voice program, while he watched radar screens, and my daughter and I watched visually to learn what we could of the material level of the culture. I must say at once that Hilda never did spot Pankey in any world on Te-Axis, but several we left rather hurriedly because major countries were too quick on the trigger. On one world, we wasted 3 days. Not totally wasted, as the experience was useful later. A day of sightseeing program showed. A. The planet was free of Pankey, Hilda felt certain. B. The natives were human. C. They were neither trigger-happy nor, as well as we could tell, engaged in war or any evident warlike preparations. D. The technological level was acceptable. Handsome cities, good roads, mechanized farming, plentiful powered ocean travel, radio. This latter enabled us to learn that the prevailing language in North America was a dialect of English. This latter fact seemed almost too good to be true, but consistent with the fact already established that Earth analog of Prime Base shared our history up to 1965, that Earth analog of the world Tau 10 Plus shared our background sufficiently, that English was a prime asset to tourist couriers such as our friends Tom Takis and Catch Catchcan. I tentatively hypothesized a very old theory, that universes branched out from a common root at critical points in history. My dear wife told me that my hypothesis did not cover all the data, whereas the universes of fiction hypothesis did. I still was not quite ready to swallow multi-person solipsism, as the idea that I myself was someone's fictional creation stuck in my craw. But I was forced in honesty to admit that Occam's razor served her theory better than it did mine. As may be, these people spoke a variety of English. After listening to it by radio for more than a day, we risked grounding. How to go about making a first contact had long been a subject of debate. Our captain had cut through the fog by saying, "Look, there are only two major ways. One is to be as sneaky as Pankey. The other is ground on the equivalent of the White House lawn and say, 'Take me to your leader.' I'm bored with this dithering. Wake me when you three have it whittled down to one opinion." So saying, he pulled himself through the bulkhead door. We were in high orbit, and closed it, and may have napped. An hour later,
I rapped on the bulkhead. Zeb rejoined us. Captain, I said, we have reached a consensus. Good. All of us are afraid of the open approach. The authorities might confiscate our vehicle. We might end up as prisoners. Monkeys in a cage, with our wagon taken away from us, Zeb added. Twice we've just missed that. Precisely. The expression sneaky as panky is distasteful to all of us. I so intended it. Wanted you all to face the realities. I went doggedly ahead. But sneakiness in itself is not immoral. We have no intention to harm. We merely seek information. I am expendable. Therefore, I will scout on the ground. Wait a half. This is consensus? Unanimous? My daughter said. No, Zebediah, that's Pop's idea. He said that Aunt Hilda and I are barred from taking the risk. Pregnant, you know. Pregnant, I certainly do know. Sharpie, how did you vote? My wife shrugged. I was euchred out, same as Dee Dee. I felt momentarily let down, but Hilda's answer was honest. Co-pilot? Yes, Captain. I asked you all to reach consensus. You've done so on the nature of the contact. I agree. So that's our policy. But I did not ask for volunteers. I've picked the scout I consider best qualified. Very well, sir. I hope you have selected me. I haven't, Jake. Nobody doubts your courage, you know that. But this chore is spying, not fighting. Jake, you're a genius in mathematics, but you'll never be an actor. I'm doing this job myself, right after breakfast, my daughter interrupted. Zebediah, where you go, I go. That's settled, the captain said gently. Dee Dee, I hope you don't stick to that, because if you do, we won't attempt contact here. We'll go straight back to our picnic island on Te 5+.
As soon as we ground there, I'll resign as skipper and we'll elect a new one.
Sharpie, you are my candidate.
And a pig's eye, Buster.
Nevertheless, I plan to vote for you. Dee Dee is too sentimental. Jake is too reckless. But when it comes to a crunch, you've proved that you think fastest and most dispassionately of any of us. Oh, I'll still pilot if you tell me to. But you can command from your seat at the Perceptron as well or better than I can from my seat. Dee Dee, are you sticking to the ultimatum you handed me?
Yes, sir.
Even though your stubbornness could result in damage or even death for your father and Sharpie? Even in my death?
I love you, dear, but on a spying mission, you would simply be a drag on me. You're even less of an actor than Jake. What happened to that old one for all and all for one spirit?
Cap'n Zebby?
Yes, Sharpie.
I hate to interrupt a family fight.
We're all one family, I hope.
But you said best qualified and for spying, not fighting.
Just a moment, Sharpie.
Dee Dee, do we head for Picnic Island?
My daughter's face took on an utter lack of expression with which she has always met her deepest emotions, even as a baby girl. Shortly, her eyes brimmed and two tears started down her face.
Zebediah, you are my captain. I will obey you without argument.
Thank you, Dee Dee.
Go ahead, Sharpie. Zebby, you've just proved that you can get tough with Dee Dee. Now let's see if you can get tough with yourself. You said best qualified. You said spying, not fighting. Now look me straight in the eye
and tell me that you know more about obstetrics than I do, and that you can be less conspicuous in a crowd than I can be, and that you can sweet-talk your way out of a rumpus better than I can.
I interrupted. Hilda, I absolutely forbid you to...
Co-pilot?
Sir?
Pipe down, or set the controls and take us at once to TEF 5+, and be ready to run for skipper against your wife. I've had a bellyful of crew members giving captain's orders in this bucket. I don't mean you, Sharpie. You were presenting a case. Tell me how you would swing this job and why you think you can do it better than I can. I plan to be a German tourist with a horrible accent who can just barely understand English but reads it fairly well.
Not bad, Zebby, not bad at all. But I can do better.
In the first place, you don't have any clothes that would be inconspicuous here, and Dee Dee and I would have trouble tailoring for you. Tailoring for men is very different from dressmaking, but Dee Dee and I can whip up a street dress for me that would get by here in a couple of hours. I photographed some of the perceptron screen for that very purpose. That horrible accent idea is good. I'll swipe it. But French rather than German, I can do it easier. Besides that, I'll be wearing a hearing aid. A walkie-talkie button in my ear, and the walkie-talkie slung under my arm. But I'll pretend it's a hearing aid, because people speak more clearly to anyone wearing a hearing aid, and aren't surprised when they don't understand everything.
How do you know what a hearing aid looks like here?
I don't. But neither will the Americans in the small town you're going to drop me in know what a French woman's hearing aid looks like. But they'll know that's what it is from my behavior. Now, one question, Zebby. I've seen upwards of 200 babies born. How many have you seen?
None. 24 hours later, I was biting my nails and sweating. Captain Zeb had a permanent scowl and spoke only in monosyllables and grunts while he held us cruising in cloud cover over a small Midwestern town. My daughter was in my wife's seat and said nothing other than brief reports.
Captain, she's entered a large building. I can't read the sign on it. If I shift scale to read it, I may miss her as she comes out.
Don't shift magnification. Watch the entrance.
An endless time later, we heard Hilda's sweet voice. I'm heading for rendezvous. You don't have to be cautious about being seen picking me up. We'll be leaving this world at once.
5 minutes later, she was inside and we bounced in full view of many natives, possibly causing a Fortean mystery. As soon as we shifted seats and belted down, we translated to the next analog. Zeb asked, any trouble, Sharpie?
Not a bit. People were almost too helpful.
Don't you want a report?
You reported.
Down check.
Captain Marvel, you're going to get one whether you like it or not. The bewildered French lady, she zinc les Américains very gentil. Mais les arts médical, pouf! More than a century out of date for us. About 1900 at a guess. No drugs worth mentioning. No hint of knowing anything about blood types. At least the article on blood in the Encyclopedia Britannica in the public library did not mention them, but did mention bloodletting as therapy. Infant mortality high, same for childbirth mortality. I could have left sooner, but I got gruesomely fascinated.
Hilda, I protested, you had us all worried to death.
I'm sorry, Jacob, truly I am, but I did have to make certain. It's such a nice world otherwise.
2 days later, our bewildered French lady made another first contact, and I managed not to bite my nails, telling myself correctly that she was safer in daylight on the streets of a small town in a strange world than she would have been at night on the streets of New York in our native world. We have been here slightly over a year now. Hilda had a rough time bearing Jacob Zebediah, a long labor and 1 unit of blood needed afterward. But my daughter gave birth to Hilda Jane without anesthesia under hypnotic suggestion, although Diti claims that she was fully conscious throughout and can't be hypnotized. I venture no opinion. We did manage to slide in quietly, both through the efforts of our bewildered French lady and through Zeb's unmalicious chicanery. Sometimes he was our French lady's husband, with even poorer command of the local language than she had. Other times, working alone, he spoke English slowly with a strong Bavarian accent, but understood it readily. But wherever either of them stopped, they changed gold bullion into local money, as Zeb believes, and so do I, that a man with plenty of cash on hand is armed against most hazards. The details of this are hardly worth recording. This analog of the United States, called that, although the boundaries are somewhat different from those of our native place, is not nearly as laden with laws, regulations, licensing, and taxes as the country from which we fled. In consequence, illegally entered aliens, which we are, do not find it too difficult to hide once they learn to sling the lingo, as Zeb calls it, and understand the local customs. Hilda and Zeb learned both rapidly during our first 2 weeks spent acquiring cash and knowledge in dozens of Midwest small towns. They on the ground, Diti and I riding shotgun in the sky. Diti and I learned more slowly from them and from radio, but we learned. Then we moved to the Northwest as natives from back east, and there coped with the only difficult problem, how to keep gay deceiver always out of sight without hiding her, camouflaged on some remote mountain. Zeb and Diti did hide her in the Cascades for some 3 days, during which Hilda and I found and leased a large warehouse on the outskirts of Tacoma. That night, we moved Gay Deceiver into it, slapped white paint on the glass of the building's windows, and slept in Gay with a feeling of being home again. We had a foot to the ground. The rest was mere detail. Today, we own 6 hectares, 15 acres here, of much cheaper land farther out, and Gay is housed in a windowless hangar built to fit her, and the 6 of us live in an old farmhouse in front of her hideaway. But even this is temporary. With plenty of land to work in, Gay will eventually be underground, surrounded by reinforced concrete. Her hangar will become a machine shop. A new and better house will be built over her bunker. But there is no hurry. One might think that a country so easy for strangers to settle in, without going through immigration, would be ripe for invasion by Pankey. Not so. But first let me say that we could have entered legally had we been able to claim a country of origin, and had we not had an embarrassingly large, incredibly advanced vehicle to smuggle in. This analog United States has a low population, under 100 million, and accepts immigrants rather freely. At one point, Zeb considered buying us phony papers and using them to let us enter legally, but decided that it was simpler to use Gay to smuggle us while we smuggled Gay. The outcome is the same. We will never be a burden on the state. Once we get that machine shop and electronics lab set up, Zeb and I will invent hundreds of useful gadgets this country lacks. Pankey, even if those deadly vermin find or have found T-axis, the climate and the customs here give them no way to hide. We seem to be at about the warmest part of the interglaciation period. Winter wheat grows where our native world had frozen tundra. The Greenland ice cap has almost vanished. The lowlands of our world are underwater, and the coastlines are much changed. Both climate and custom encourage light clothing, and the preposterous body modesty taboo does not exist. Clothing is worn for adornment and for protection, never through shame. On the contrary, total nakedness is symbolic of innocence, and these people derive that symbology from the same Bible that was used in my native culture to justify the exact opposite. The same Bible. I have checked the relevant passages word for word. But this will be no surprise to any unbiased student. The Holy Bible is such a gargantuan collection of conflicting values that anyone can prove anything from it by selective quotation. So this is not a world where Pankey can hide, wolves in sheep's clothing. A man who, at all times, kept his arms and legs fully covered by long sleeves and long trousers would be as conspicuous and as eccentric as one in full armor. But a pankera infiltrates by being inconspicuous. This world does have its taboos, I suppose every culture does, and one of the oddest, to me with my background, derives directly from reversing the modesty taboo. The religious sects here are mostly Christian, of one flavor or another, and on a Saturday morning, one may see whole families headed for a church in their finest clothes. But since nakedness is symbolic of innocence, they remove it all in an unconsecrated anteroom, then enter their temple unadorned. One need not attend their service to note this. The climate favors light, airy structures that are mostly roof and slender columns. The Bible strongly affects their penal system, again by selective quotation. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. This results in a fluid criminal code with no intent to rehabilitate whatsoever, but to make the punishment fit the crime as closely as possible. I saw one horrible example of this not long after we settled in the Northwest. I was driving our steam wagon south on the main highway out of Tacoma and encountered a roadblock. A policeman told me that I could take a rather long detour, or I could wait about 20 minutes. The highway was being used to punish a reckless driver. I elected to pull over and wait. And then I joined a crowd of spectators, I being curious as to what was meant. I learned too much. A man was staked out on the highway with one leg stretched out by a line at a right angle. A police wagon then drove down that cleared highway and ran over that leg, turned and drove back over it a second time. There was an ambulance waiting at the site, but nothing was done for a timed 17 minutes. Then surgeons got out and performed an emergency amputation right on the spot. Then the ambulance took him away and the roadblock was removed. I went back to my steam wagon and shook for about 30 minutes. Then I returned home, driving most cautiously, my errand forgotten. At first, I didn't tell our family about it, just said that I felt ill. But it was reported on radio and the evening paper had it, with picture. So I admitted that I had seen it. The paper noted that the criminal's insurance had been insufficient to cover the court's award to the victim, so the reckless driver had not only lost his left leg, as had his victim, but also had had most of his worldly goods confiscated. There is no speed limit here, and traffic regulations are advisory rather than obligatory, but there are extremely few traffic accidents. I have never before encountered such polite and careful drivers. A poisoner is killed by poison. An arsonist is burned to death. I'm not going to describe what is done to a rapist, but poisoning, arson, and rape are almost unknown. My first encounter with this brutal system of balancing, they don't call it punishment, almost caused me to think that my dear wife had been mistaken in picking this world, that we should move on or return to prime base. But I am no longer certain. This place has no prisons, almost no crime, and it is the safest place to raise children I've ever heard of. But there are other things I don't understand. We are, of course, having to relearn history. The years of rising waters explain themselves. The critical point in the change of climate came shortly after 1600. By 1620, the new shorelines had stabilized. But that had endless consequences. Mass migrations, political disorder, a return of the Black Death, and a much larger immigration from the lowlands of northern Europe to the Americas while the waters rose. One obvious result was that human slavery was never established here. Indentures, yes. Many a man indentured himself and his sons to get his family away from doomed land and across the Atlantic. Indenturing is still legal, I think, but defunct in practice. But the circumstances that created King Cotton were destroyed by rising waters and warmer climate. There are citizens here of African Negro descent, but their ancestors were never slaves. Some indentured ancestors, no doubt, but everyone claims some indentured ancestors, even if they have to invent them. But other aspects of history seem to be taboo. I've almost given up trying to find out what happened in 1965, the year they hanged the lawyers. That year is mentioned and glossed over. When I asked a reference librarian for a more detailed account of that year and the ensuing decade, he wanted to know why I needed to refer to records in the locked vaults. I left without giving my name. There is free speech here and free press, but apparently some subjects are not discussed. Since they are not defined, we will continue to be careful while we feel them out. But there is no category lawyers in the telephone book. The legal profession, in all its many ramifications, seems not to exist. Zeb claims that this simply means that it is a black market. But Zeb is more cynical than I am. I simply don't know as yet. Taxation is low, simple, and contains a surprise that could be distressing. The federal government is supported by a head tax paid by the states and seems to be mostly for military and foreign affairs. This state, not necessarily the others, derives most of its revenue from real estate taxes. It is a uniform rate set annually with no property exempted, not even churches, hospitals, or schools, or roads, as all the best roads are toll roads. The surprise to me lies in this. The owner appraises his own property. But here is the sting in the tale. Anyone, including the state, can buy that property against the owner's wishes at whatever appraisal the owner had placed on it. The owner can hang on, only by raising the appraisal at once to a figure so high that no buyer wants it, and paying 3 years back taxes at the new appraisal. This strikes me as being loaded with inequity. What if it's a family homestead with great sentimental value? But Zeb just laughs at me. Jake, if anybody wants 6 hectares of unfarmable land and second-growth timber, we'll take his money, accept the profit, climb into Gay, bounce out of here, and buy more worthless land elsewhere. In a poker game, you always figure what's in the pot when you bet.
46. Hilda. Dee Dee got me alone while our husbands were busy in their shop. Hillbilly, have you noticed that Pop and Zebediah are getting fidgety? I went on cutting shortening into pie crust. Men are always fidgety, Dee Dee girl. You're not fidgety? Meaning you are. I didn't say that. Dee Dee, hun, don't kid your old Aunt Sharpie. When your face has no expression, something is on your mind. Are you expecting again? No. You and I have each had a girl and a boy. I don't intend to raise the subject until Zebediah does, unless he waits too long. If Jacob waits too long, it may be a long wait. The years are crawling over me. That's just it, Aunt Hilda. The years are crawling over all of us. Happens, dear. But any time we want to stop the clock for a while, there is always Oz. Want to go stay with the Tin Woodman again? No. Then why the fidgets, dear? We've found our snug harbor and fitted ourselves into it. Our men are making money. We're no longer dipping into our capital. Are we? No. At the close of last month, we had, net, 1,212.7 more grams of gold than when we got here. Plus this place, free and clear, plus household chattels, machinery, and tea kettle bubbles the second, and 4 bicycles, accrued taxes I've offset. Sounds like a good balance sheet and a solid middle-class family. Hilda, is that all you want? A good balance sheet? Dee Dee, while I get this pie into the oven, pour us some hard cider. There's a quart in the fridge. Then we'll sit down and find out what you want. Soon we settled down. Dee Dee approached the matter obliquely. Hilda, can you still spot Pankey at a distance? Using the perceptron? I closed my eyes and thought about it. I think so. Yes, I can. Why? Do you remember the toast we used to have at dinner every night? The one to Hilda, Jane, and Jay-Z? No, earlier than that. Oh, the one in which Zebby misquotes Cato. Yes. Zebediah used to say, Pankey must be destroyed. Pop would answer, we shall return. You and I would say, hear, hear. How long's it been since they've used that toast? About a year, possibly more. 472 days. The day our tests came back positive, they started toasting our new babies. We haven't drunk to killing Pankey since that day. They don't mention the subject. Or does Pop talk about it to you? No, but he thinks about it. I feel sure Zebediah does, too. Hillbilly, someday soon our menfolk are going to want to leave on a Pankey hunt. Dee Dee, do you expect me to stop them? No. But I'm going along. I am. Are you expecting me to babysit our kids? Why, Aunt Hilda, Do you think I'd do that to you? Why do you think I asked whether or not you could still spot Pankey? But you're out of practice. I think we should go to Prime Base so that Warsel can give you a refresher. But I wouldn't put up with your being left behind. If you really want to go, I mean. I'm not trying to persuade you. But I'm going. I am. Didi, you know what they're going to say. Certainly I know. Zebediah will look solemn and Pop will shake his head sadly, and Zebediah will say sternly that you and I can't go because we have babies to take care of. Nevertheless, I'm going. I'm going to kill Pankey. Didi, I'm not trying to dissuade you, but what do you plan to say when I say that I'm going too? Who does take care of our kids? You and I. That was the right answer. But Didi girl startled me with it. I hadn't realized that she had thought it through. Good. Hun, I said a long time ago that I am no more willing to walk the widow's walk than you are. I'm glad to learn that you see where that leads, for I am no more willing to have our kids orphaned than you are. All right, when we go, if our men agree and I expect them to be stubborn, all of us go. We live or die together. You and I can expect to change diapers every hour on the hour, but that's not hard. Just bounce high enough or even put down on our picnic island. However, I think our men are going to balk. You can expect a massive case of sulks while they try to wear us down. Aunt Hilda, how much do Delameters weigh? She had startled me again. I don't know, I've never had one in my hand. I'm as big as some galactic patrolmen, and I'm a pretty good shot. If the grip of a Delameter is too big for my hand, I'm sure Laverne can modify one for me. Aunt Hilda, if you'll spot Pankey, I'll kill them. I hate them. They bombed our pretty mountain home. They stripped all of us of everything we owned except what we could pack into Gay Deceiver. And 5 times they tried to kill us, when we hadn't done anything. I've never forgotten it. I never shall. If I could see a way to do it, I would exterminate them throughout the universes to the last filthy Pankera. I can't, but I can kill some of them, if you'll help. You spot one, I'll kill it. I can always tell whether Didi is happy or unhappy, but I sometimes guess wrong as to why. She's a deep one. I had thought she was simply grimly determined not to be left behind. But during this fiery speech, her nipples erected. Gentle Didi, possessed by bloodlust for green blood. I knew I felt that way. I hadn't suspected that she did. I had thought she simply feared them. I answered rather inanely. 5 times? Not 4?
Perhaps you forgot Logan.
No, I counted that. Your car and Logan, and that ranger I dissected, and bombing Snug Harbor.
You forgot that phony extradition.
Oh, so I did. They thought they had wiped us out. When they learned that Jebby was still alive, they tried to get him that way. Yes, 5 separate tries.
After you take your refresher course from Warsel, Helium should be our next stop, to find out what happened. Cart may have information we can use.
Didi, you speak as though Jacob and Zebby would agree to this.
If they don't want to risk babies, let them stay home and babysit.
I gasped, then chortled, and grabbed her.
Oh, Didi, you're wonderful. Yes, dear, yes. While we're away, they can join a bridge club or roll bandages for the Red Cross and hold a memorial service if we don't come back.
Aunt Hilda, I'm not joking. If we can't go because of kids, then it follows that they can't go because they promised to take care of us. But it starts from a false premise. Back on Earth Zero, it has been more than a century since war came packaged for men only. Maybe there used to be a time when wars were neat and tidy and women and children didn't get hurt. But not in my lifetime, or even Pop's. I know our husbands want to protect us and the kids at any cost, and I honor them for it. But one generation is as valuable as another, and men are as valuable as women. Oh, it's different on Barsoom, where swords are still real weapons. But change the weapons, and a computer programmer is more use in a war than a sniper is. I'm a programmer. I can shoot, too. I won't be left out. I won't. Nor will Sharpie be left out. You'll do it? We'll all do it, all of us. But Dee Dee, let me do the talking. You're a number one computer programmer, but men aren't computers. Their minds aren't logical. I'll talk. You just agree with me and be stubborn. I do that pretty well, too. I'm stubborn, I am. That evening, I put hard cider on the table. After coffee, I raised my glass to Dee Dee. Panky must be destroyed. Dee Dee stood up, clinked her glass to mine, and answered,
We shall return.
Then the fight began.
47. Zebediah. I never will understand women. Bless their strange hearts and twisty minds. 5 years ago, Jake and I were discussing at every opportunity how, or rather how soon, we could get Dee Dee and Sharpie to agree to let Jake and me take another crack at Panky. They jerked the rug from under us, and I found myself trying to explain why Jake and I couldn't stay home and take care of our kids while they hunted Panky. Before we knew it, they had us on the hip. Sharpie is the only one of us trained to sniff out Panky. Dee Dee can do a far better job of teaching Gay a complex program than I can, and can set verniers as accurately as her father and faster. Jake and I were forced to retreat to a previously unprepared position. All eight of us, now that more children had arrived, would go. By now, Jake and I had long since learned that their compromise with us gave the only satisfactory solution. We work best with all eggs in one basket. If all eight of us get wiped out, the human race goes on. But we are much less likely to get wiped out if we stick together. But was it a compromise? Or did Sharpie hornswoggle us by setting too high an asking price? I won't pursue that question. That micro Machiavelli can outtalk me. In our initial trouble with Panky, we were always handicapped. Only good luck and fast footwork kept us alive. Something was trying to kill us. We didn't know what or why. All we could do was run, abandoning everything we could not carry. Bank accounts, homes, machine tools, libraries, established status, incomes, identities, even our home planet. All this was jettisoned to save our necks. We were homeless orphans, with an inflexible deadline and no way to meet it. We didn't have time to fight Panky. But we never forgot. But in our return engagement, all this was reversed. On New Earth, analog Earth Tay Axis 39 plus is too big a mouthful. In public, we call it Earth, as everyone else does. In private, we say New Earth to distinguish it from our native planet, Earth Zero. On our safe and lovely adopted planet, we are again solid citizens, money in the bank, more capital hidden away, a machine shop and lab in which Jake and I can cope with almost anything, from designing a can opener to refitting Gay Deceiver. Even were we to lose all that, we still have three places of refuge. Prime Base, where we are wealthy pensioners for life and where technology about three centuries ahead of New Earth is at our disposal. Helium, where we are treated as visiting royalty and where General-in-Chief Hal Halsa is eager to fight Panky. And the gentle Land of Oz for rest and recreation. Best of all, we have time. We are no longer running under the whip, no longer under a pressing biological deadline. We have our safe home base, with excellent medical and obstetrical care. I should explain just how much time we have, because it is confusing, even to me, long after it has become a routine fact of my life. All analog Earths out tau axis and ta axis experience duration along the T axis. That is, for each year spent on New Earth, a year passes on Earth 0 and on Earth tau 10. And on Barsoom, as it is part of Universe tau 10. These are parallel worlds, each separated from the next by one quantum along tau or te. Like this, call the ordinates of Earth 0, X degree, Y degree, Z degree, and T degree, then the coordinates of tau 10, including Barsoom, are X 10 prime, Y degree, Z degree, and T degree. The same space-time framework, save that one spatial coordinate has been translated 10 spatial quanta in a direction tagged tau plus. By the same notation, the coordinates of New Earth are X degree, Z degree, and T degree, but Y 39 prime, or Y 39 plus powered. Prime Base and the Lands of Oz are not parallel to Earth 0 and New Earth. They are reached by rotation. They share the same duration coordinate, the one tagged tau. Nevertheless, they are not parallel worlds, as they share only one spatial coordinate. This could go on through all the permutations of the number of the beast. I'll drop it. The important point is that time spent in Oz or at Prime Base does not show on clocks or calendars at New Earth. One evening, when our first babies were small, Hilda was getting dinner, while Dee Dee was changing diapers, and Jake and I had just showered and were ready for dinner. Dee Dee finished her chores and said, "Hillbilly, I approve of babies, but unfinished human beings, noisy at one end and wet at the other, get tiresome. Let's go to Oz." "All right. When?" "Now." "I have a roast in the oven, Dee Dee. Tomorrow, perhaps, if that suits our gentleman."
"Not me," Jake answered. "I have a timed experiment running, not sooner than next Wednesday."
"Pop, run that through again. If we leave now and stay 3 weeks, when do we get back?"
Jake looked thoughtful and blinked.
"Hilda, my love, get diapers and everything else you need. We'll leave now. Zeb, coming? Or do you prefer to stay here and batch it?
Do my own cooking when I can sponge on Glinda? Let's go."
"I'll turn off the roast, Jacob. Diapers and baby powder and such I stocked in the car months ago."
"Don't turn off the roast. We'll eat it when we get back."
When we got back, about a month later, I lost track of the days, the kitchen clock showed that we had been gone 4 minutes. We had to wait while meat finished roasting. Even that 4 minutes had been spent on New Earth, manning the car, strapping down, then getting out of it and back into the house on our return. The same applies to Prime Base. We can leave with breakfast dishes on the table, be gone for months, return and find the coffee still hot. But time spent in Oz counts as duration in Prime Base, and vice versa. If we alternate, or are careful to do so, we do not show up either place while goodbyes are still echoing from our last visit. But time spent in Helium or in hunting Panky along Tau Axis shows as duration on New Earth. On our first return to Helium, we took everything with us that we could not afford to lose, locked up tight, and arranged for our garden to be watered. A Panky hunt takes no such full planning. We are rarely away more than a few hours. What does take clock and calendar time is planning and preparing for one, unless that time is spent at Prime Base. Once we spent a long time at Prime Base. I had lost my left arm, and almost my life, in a Panky raid, so I spent the next several weeks in Base Hospital while Dr. Phillips regenerated it. I won't describe that raid. I behaved stupidly and am not proud of it. If Sharpie hadn't known the pressure points to stop hemorrhage, if Dee Dee hadn't taken my seat at the controls while Jake handled verniers, if the patrol had not helped, my stupidity would have cost my neck and possibly others. As it was, we were away from home less than an hour, and I had a brand new arm. With time to plan, we do. For 3 months, Warsel devoted a part of his great multiple brain to Hilda, while I discussed tactics with several lensmen, especially our lensman, Ted Smith, and discussed weapons, gadgets, and instruments with Laverne and Jake. And Dee Dee became a crackshot with Dillimeters, which so surprised her coach, Carlos Fernandez, that he called in Port Admiral Haynes to show her off, let him see what she could do against surprise targets, some of which she was expected to hit, others of which she must instantly spot as friendly and not shoot. Let me add that she surprised her husband. Will I ever really know my wife? Our first effort was reconnaissance. After Warsel got Hilda so sensitive that she could spot a Panchera in the dark at a couple of clicks, spot them by perceptron at 20,000 clicks, search them out by spy ray even inside buildings or underground, tedious, time-consuming, and hard to keep the ray aimed at long range, but sometimes extremely worthwhile, able by direct vision to strip mentally the clothes off a crowd and point out any Panky hiding in it. After Warsel got her tuned to that sense of perception, no matter that Sharpie asserts that she doesn't have a true sense of perception, after Laverne Thorndike fitted us out with more gadgets, plus an anti-radar coating 99% effective, after all this, we started reconnaissance. We did not go first to Helium. I ruled against it. Astrogator, honey, we now have the advantage over Panky that they once had over us. They lost track of us years ago. I think we are a forgotten incident, probably one of many, scratched out of their books. They don't know we're on the prowl, and we'll keep it that way as long as possible. Even after we start hitting them, we'll still keep it that way wherever and whenever possible. Strike by surprise, just as they struck us.